Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. I've been waiting to say that. I nearly said it in the notices and I thought, no, that's how I'm going to start my sermon. It's good to be here. That was my happy dance. Because in the midst of all my travels in the last few weeks, my heart has definitely been pining for you. It's true. This is my spiritual home, and for this place and for you, I give thanks. Now, in this last few weeks, I've done some stuff that's been kind of mind-blowing, some of it very exciting, some of it quite challenging. I've been part of discussions which will shape the future for the training for ministry in the Anglican Church of Canada. I've been in conversations that are shaping and will shape the future of the ecclesiastical province of BC and Yukon. And I've been fortunate, as I said, to be in the synod here as well. Some things that happened that we discussed at Synod will shape who we are as a diocese in the coming years and months and years ahead. These things will influence the life of our community here at St. John the Divine, and I'm excited about that part that we have in the wider community of God's people. We have also our own explorations of what it means to be a spiritual community in this time and in this place. And consider where the dance of faith is going to lead us in the coming weeks and months in our own life together. So there is much to give thanks for in our spiritual life together. But that's not to say we don't have some difficulties, and gratitude is not meant to blind us to the difficulties that we face and the hard decisions we have to make. Our lighting and electrical safety works are needing addressing at substantial cost in the coming weeks. We have work to do in the formation of a strategic plan. We continue to seek to be as clear and transparent as possible about the way we work as a community and as open as we can be regarding our ongoing financial situation. We are considering in this season our calling to stewardship and our calling to healing. We are considering our pattern of worship, our social action, and our social justice work. And we continue to pay attention to our life of prayer together. And though some of this work is hard, these are signs of a living and vital community. And for this, I give thanks, which of course is the theme for today, gratitude and thanksgiving. The purpose of our celebration of Thanksgiving this week is to call to mind those things which we have, those ways in which we are blessed, those things in which we find joy and the love which we share, and to remember to give thanks for them. As I wrote in my Times Colonist article yesterday, I've never quoted myself before, but I say it so well. Sorry, light-hearted moment. Gratitude, taking time, paying attention to the gifts we are given, from the beauty of the place where we live to the moments of peace, joy, grace, and love we have in the everyday, is part of the way in which we build resilience and move towards a healthier mental life. But more than that, it is for those of us who have an apprehension of the divine, which causes us to continue on this journey of faith, we recognize our gratitude is an attitude held towards a creator who graces and embraces this world in love. This attitude towards God can bring us to a place where we know ourselves to be loved and blessed by being who and what we are in relationship to the divine and to one another. It's why the Hebrew scriptures keep telling the story of God's faithfulness towards the children of Israel to remind them of who they are. Why that story continues to be passed down in every Jewish family even till now and onwards. It's why Paul keeps reminding us of the blessing of the Creator's provision. It's why the gospel writers take time to pinpoint the one person who returns to give thanks in today's story of Jesus meeting 10 lepers, we see the importance throughout Scripture of cultivating an attitude of thanksgiving in order that we recognize the giver and grow in our own attitude to God and to others in doing so. Jesus highlights the faith of the outsider in today's gospel story, the only one who was actually excluded regularly from that society was the one who actually took time to give thanks, to respond. The other nine in the story did do exactly what they were told. They went to the priest to be declared ritually clean. But there's only one who thinks differently. And perhaps it's a challenge to us to think outside our usual way of doing things, even to defy convention, to take time and pay attention to the importance of looking for grace as and when it appears, rather than trying to confine it to one way of doing things or one way of being and doing. Paul feels the need to remind his hearers of that too, that the attitude that we cultivate won't just affect the state of our own hearts, but will influence the actions we take towards the divine and towards others. That you may share abundantly in every good work is, says St. Paul, the purpose of recognizing what we have and giving thanks. It's meant to be a process that doesn't just look inward, but moves us outwards. Gratitude is not some kind of feedback loop that makes us feel better and be happy, but it's meant to inspire action, a changed heart and a changed mind, a changed attitude to ourselves and to others. St. Paul, in this part of 2 Corinthians that we heard today, is trying to spur the church in Corinth into action, to giving. He doesn't mince words. The one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, he tells the church at Corinth. And each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. The context for this statement is that Paul is encouraging the believers in Corinth to support the church in Jerusalem, where the region is undergoing famine and the people are struggling. He wants the Corinthian church to recognize their own abundance and from that support their sisters and brothers in need. Now, I've heard a number of sermons and presentations which just grab that one little bit. God loves a cheerful giver, to encourage people to up their pledge. That's it. Put more in the collection plate, it says. But I think that's a misuse of the text. For Paul is addressing an attitude of heart, one that overflows into action. Paul is not just trying to get them to give more to the church, but to encourage a transformation from which comes a new approach, a new attitude. He doesn't want them to give more, but give thoughtfully, give gratefully, give carefully, prodigally. Over the past few years, but particularly in the last few months, I have been talking about, mentioning in sermons and in groups and in conversations, the difference between having a scarcity mentality and an abundance mentality. This is because I keep reading and hearing again and again about how a scarcity mentality, but we only have this, we need to protect this, we need to hold on to this, is starting to become the most common mentality in the Western church and in society. And how that contrasts with the scriptural ideal of an abundance, which recognizes how blessed we are and how much we have and gives from that point. The former approach, the idea of scarcity, contracts us. It turns us inwards. It's insular and self-focused. The other moves us to a place of expansive thinking, to gracious and generous thinking. And this scarcity and abundance isn't just some kooky self-help terminology. It's rooted deep in our own Christian and other spiritual traditions. Paul again says, God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. And the blessing here is not that God makes money or homes or food drop out of the sky. The blessing is that we recognize what we have, and we recognize the giftedness within our lives, and that by this change of attitude, this change of heart, we live from a sense of abundance and generosity and give not just of our time, our talent, and our treasures, but we give of ourselves to one another. This is our calling at this Thanksgiving time and always, to consider how we live out of a sense of gratitude. Not just to be grateful, but to do grateful. To be people of gratitude in heart, mind, and action. Thanks be to God. Amen.